Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, it's a cup of tea. And this cup of tea show is with Mick Watson. Got your name right there, haven't I?
Yeah, that's it.
We've got you in about your podcast Straight From The Off. Rather than me do a big build up, mate, you tell us about what it's about, where the idea come from, and how you got going with it all, really.
Basically, it's a podcast that evolves around the amateur football scene of Liverpool, but as it sort of got more popular and more people listen to it, we've had a lot of ex-pros who've shown an interest in coming on. I've had the likes of Ryan Lowe, obviously in charge of Preston now, Kevin Ellison, who was with Newport, played for Morecambe, Leicester in the Premier League, and then on to like Cara, obviously. Jamie showed an interest in coming on. That sort of sent it through to the next level in terms of people that he could share it with on his social media stuff and all that. But basically, we'll talk about the pro game, but we go back to the start of how they liked footy in the first place, the school teams, did they represent the school boys, what was it like turning pro? So it's not really about, you know, in Cara's instance, it wasn't really about the trophies he won for Liverpool, although that we touched on that. It was more about the journey to becoming a professional and like what he had to sort of go through, going to Lily Shaw, the national school for England and things like that. So, and basically just come up with the idea. I was a bit late into podcasts, to be honest. People used to say to me and I'd go, he's got the time to listen to a podcast, like, and then but then you think, I'm gonna spend about 5 hours of my day driving around the northwest with my job and stuff. And so I started listening to them, like, hell, I'm missing out here, you know what I mean? And I thought, if you're late to the party, like, obviously, you guys are like trendsetters and you're market leaders, shall we say, in speaking about pro footy, you can't just jump on the back end of that and start talking about pro footy, although I'd like to for hours and hours. So we thought, well, there's a big popularity within amateur footy in the city and a long history that goes back. Why don't I try and sort of speak to these fellas and document what they've gone through so that it's always there? You know, some of these fellas are getting older. I've had like 70-odd year old fellas on the podcast. Like, so I thought, let's give it a go. I dived into YouTube down a rabbit hole and how you do it all. I was thinking, I know, I'll send it out on a link on SoundCloud and all my mates like, you messing, you need to do this, do this, do this, do that. You'd have to do that. I was like, wow, I didn't realise it was that much work. So it was born in the first lockdown of 2020. I'd done a little sample one with one of my good mates, sent it to a few of the lads and they were getting back saying, wow, I really enjoyed that. You'll have to do it properly. So I gave it a go and here we are a couple of years later, and it's quite popular, obviously, within the city and surrounding areas, really.
Yeah, it's got a little buzz around it. I mean, I've had a few people mention it to me, which is why I wanted to get you in, really. And, you know, you said yourself now you've ended up getting, like, you know, you've had Carter on, you've had Tomo on, Ricky Lambert, Ray Puterall as well,
and
a few Reds links there. But also, you know, I just listened to the Dale Jennings one, really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it as well because, you know, I've seen content with Dale before because, you know, it's an interesting story, isn't it? Tranmere, then Bayern Munich at 18. It doesn't work out. He comes back. And, you know, when everyone always does that, oh, where is he now? What's he doing and all that? But you didn't sort of do the journalist thing with him, which I enjoyed. You know, you were talking about the amateur teams he played for in the past, the amateur teams he's playing for now. And there's like an enjoyment of footy that comes through on the podcast that I really enjoy because I always have this theory with my mates. I always say, you know, because we grew up with the Pink Echo, you knew amateur footy in Liverpool a lot more then than you do now, because there's not a reference point now as much, I don't think. So you've got no reason to be looking at league tables of, I don't know, Zingari or Business Houses or whatever it might be, unless you're playing in it or you're involved. But I used to enjoy that. I used to read the Pink cover from cover to cover, and so knew a lot more about what was going on. And just listening to your pod, like, that came flooding back a bit, and I was like, you know, it was piquing my interest when you're talking about teams in Kenny and saying, you know, they'd beat a non-league side that good. You know, that to me I found really interesting, because, you know, I've grown up in and around here, and you know, I've had people always say to me the standard of football in this city is something else. But then to hear that, I know you've played yourself as well, haven't you? And it's like, that's mad, that. Hang on. What, there's lads kicking now and playing Saturday, Sunday footy that I've never watched and most people have never watched, and they're that good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's mad that obviously people who listen to this will know that there's a lad called Leighton McGiven who's he's with Lower Breck now, mid-30s now, mid to late 30s, and he's like seen as, you know, the modern day John O'Leary, let's say. So John O'Leary was an old legend who played for Fantail and Lobster and teams like that. Leighton now plays for Lower Breck. Thankfully, Liverpoolians will be happy that his little lad is with Liverpool at the moment. Little Frankie, he's going to be unbelievable. And I think it's like these players could have, Leighton dipped in and out of the pro game, but there's loads of lads there now. The top level of Sunday League footy now, the top team. So for instance, we said then about the Kenny Fields and the Camp Fields. For instance, a lad like James Barrigan, who plays for the Camp Fields, he played for Marine against Tottenham. You know, so there's like, it seems a million miles away, but it's not that far. And usually the only things that let down the top amateur players is a little bit of dedication or a little bit of luck here and there for them being at that very, a football league level, let's say. So when you get a gang of them, if you get six of them in one team, you know, them Sunday league teams will turn over a conference side. It's possible. It's not beyond the realms. Like they could spank them. It's just the way it is. And you get that little bit more togetherness and, you know, little bit more of a scally attitude from a Sunday league team. Like, yous aren't beating us. Let's give it to them type thing. So we have got a rich history of amateur footy in the city and some really, really good players. Like,
The other thing that come across listening to the pods as well is obviously, you know, you seem to like know everyone. You're like, oh yeah, I know him, and he coached there, and I used to play with him, and he knows. But you know what I mean? That's come across that, you know, you really know what you're talking about among all this. So what's your own background in footy? Like, who did you play for?
I played to an all right level. I was all right. Scored a few goals for most of the teams that I played for. I started off playing I went to Rice Lane School, so in the thick of the action right on Rice Lane there. Then I went to Fazakli, which is another baptism of fire, Fazakli High. We were decent, we were okay, not an unbelievable. From school I left, played for St. Phillies from Sparrow Wall, played for the Warbrech in Oral Park. Spells with Bootle in the sort of semi-pro rank, shall we say.
North West County, and
played a few games for various different teams. Brynesk over the years, you know, dead established, long-serving club, Brynesk, but like over 100 years old. So I was all right. And what comes of the Sunday footy is you meet loads of people, don't you? And you have mates. And we'll all know someone who can get in touch with someone for me. So if I don't know them, I'll have a mate who'll give them a bell. And luckily enough, most people in amateur footy are listening to it now, and I've got a list as long as my arm of guests that want to come on. At the beginning, I was relying on just being mates with people, and they go, I'll give that a go for you. But now I don't necessarily have to know the person to get them on the show. Like, but obviously, I had some bad injuries along the way that wouldn't have stopped me going any further. I'd reached my level of footy in the amateur game. And obviously, love Liverpool. I had season tickets and stuff, travelled home and away where I could when I stopped playing. But you'd always miss. I would always say to people, play while you can. You know, the Reds will always be there. You know, you can get to it very rarely now with Saturday footy and stuff. You can play and watch Liverpool either way. So, you know, I've always been a mad Red along the way as well. So
what you're talking about there is interesting. I was going to ask you about that, because I remember a few years back, it seemed that, you know, a few established clubs were starting to disband. There wasn't as many leagues, and there was a lot of talk about locally about, you know, is is the Premier League and the top level of footy becoming a bit all consuming? And because of all the mad kickoff times and, you know, no longer Saturday 3 p.m, people were saying, you know, well, if there's a game on at 12 and then there's a game on at 2, you know, you can basically sit there on your couch and watch footy all weekend.
Yeah, and hope no one else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all of a sudden that's making it harder to get 11, 12, 13 people on the pitch locally to go and play for the side. And so there was a lot of talk about, you know, it's on its way out, amateur footy's dying. So you doing what you do and your insight, where do you think it's at now?
I think a couple of years ago, well, a good few years ago now, there was a lot of madness in the city, wasn't there? You know, and rival areas like sort of battling with each other over stupid stuff. I think that paid a bit of it. It had a big effect on the footy, and people were like, I can't be bothered with this, you know, fights and gangsters being involved and all that. And then I think it's come out the other side, and just basically youth in general now, whereas we'd go out on a Saturday, we'd be in for usually 2 o'clock, wouldn't we, or half two, whereas now they don't roll in till six o'clock in the morning, and they've drank whatever extra they've had, and you know, and then they're thinking, I'm not getting off of footy. Whereas all the ale in the world wouldn't stop me playing footy. I'd be there, you know, unless I couldn't physically walk, I'd be there. But now I think then, so it's come out the other side. The leagues have sort of dwindled. I don't know whether it's kids not as interested as much, or whether that's just down to, you know, modern society and. People, everything's at your fingertips now, isn't it? Sometimes there's no need to go out. Maybe that's a reason. But the Sunday League now is amalgamated into one. So the main Sunday League is the business houses on the Liverpool Sunday have merged a couple of divisions, some really strong teams in the top division and the divisions below. And obviously Saturdays seems to be going from strength to strength. Like you mentioned before, there's big crowds in the non-league at the moment, possibly because pro footy, it's not that easy to get tickets, as we all know, unless you've got a season ticket or you've got so many games in the bank. It's not that easy to just get up and take your kids.
You missed out on the ballot as well, didn't you? I think I saw it on Twitter.
We had three in. One in 1.6, and we had three in and got none. But, you know, I don't think I've ever come out of a ballot, you know. I've only ever qualified when I've qualified through home fixtures and the relative aways. I don't think I've ever come out of a ballot, but, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunate, but
I wanted to get you again on the, you touched on it before, like the sliding doors aspect of footy, because there's a lot of that comes out in the pods and in these stories and stories that float around in the city. Like some of those lads you've mentioned, I think if people went and watched them play footy, they'd be like, how's he not up the leagues? How's he not somewhere else? You mentioned dedication, but there's also the flip side of this as well. Without being cruel, you'll see people sometimes in the leagues, won't you, go, well, how's he got there?
Definitely.
So on the slide, how much, I mean, I always think now, surely, like, it's not that much sliding, you know, that many kids get hoovered up and thrown into the academies and all that. It seems like it'd be harder for you to slip through the net now if you had talent.
Yeah, I think that, because obviously when we were kids, you'd have to stop playing for your Sunday league team at about 13 or 14, whereas now I think it's 8. So if Liverpool, Everton, City, whatever, like you can't play for your grassroots team at 8. So there's more hands-on coaching. Obviously now the small-sided games, more touches of the ball. I think the kids now are going to be unbelievable as they get older. You know, the gap between us and them, I think, could be quite vast due to those things. They're in most nights or a couple of nights a week, small-sided games, more touches of the ball. And just like satellite centres set up all over the place. So City, for instance, would have a satellite centre, say, in Prescott. So the Liverpool lads that they like, the 10 or 20 of them, could go and train at Prescott. They don't have to go to Manchester.
Mm.
So it's probably a lot easier now to get into an academy. And they probably take more kids on. So you'll have, for instance, our boys, Max's team went into the academy, Liverpool's academy, last Saturday. So they have a group of 20 kids at their age. What they do is they play, our Max's team will play the top group from the year below. And they'll have 20 odd kids, whereas that's just one group. Then there's another group of 20 kids below them. And maybe, and so they might have 60 kids in that age group, whereas years ago they might have only had 15. So I think there's more kids getting signed up, and It seems to be paying dividends at the moment. Even Premier League teams are getting kids through, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's more seems to be coming through at the moment than before the little lull, you know, between, like, let's say, Gerrard and the others coming through. Now you're trending that.
Argument, though, is, well, what's the effect on the amateur, on the junior leagues and things like that? You know, is that right that the toll, you can't go and play with your mates anymore? You know, you're coming with us. And then, you know, there's still loads of them just get let go, don't they?
Yeah. Well, when Cara was on his pod, he spoke about it. Obviously, there James is with Wigan. And he said the parents have to look at it as, he said, I looked at it as if it was free private school for James. So he goes into the academy and he gets the best coaching that he can get. And if he comes out the other end, like 99.9% of them will, without professional footy, at least he's had the best chance of sort of making it. So you can only take from their sort of experience, you know, and say, well, you know, if he is getting the best coaching and he's playing on the best surfaces, it gives him the best chance to play. If he doesn't, then obviously see what happens later. But you've got the likes of Palace now, haven't you, doing the, you know, like a programme afterwards. After they release you, a couple of years, they've got to look after you and help you do stuff rather than just discard you. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's about time, isn't it? It's long time coming.
Because just sort of dropping you and saying, see, yeah, you're not going to do with us anymore, I always felt a little bit grim to me. But back to the podcast and people you've had on, you probably don't want to say it, I'm putting you on the spot, but who's your favourite that you've had on so far? What's like a highlight for you out of doing it?
I'm on, this week shall be I've done 73 episodes, some vary in length from an hour, some up to like 3 hours, depending how gabby the person is on the other end, you know what I mean? But I like the ones where I don't know that much about them, so I'm learning a little bit myself. So there was a lad on from the South End who played for the Dingle Rail and a team called Almatach, won the National Cup a couple of times, called Joey Kelly. He went on to manage like Vauxhall Motors and stuff like that. His story was really interesting to me because I didn't know about it before I spoke to him. Really, someone said, get Joe on, it's brilliant. There's a local legend called Frankie Strode who played with Steve McManaman, a Campion. Local legend, played for Waterloo Dock, won all kinds of trophies, magic boots, they call him. His episodes, I found that really interesting. But there's loads of I had Michael Branch on the other week from Everton. Interesting story. You know, there's loads.
About anyone you want to get on that you haven't had on?
I've been trying to get Peter Reid on.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good.
I don't know whether he fancies it. I've asked a few people to ask him, like, and then obviously the big ones from the pro game, which it's not likely to happen, would be Gerrard, Fowler, Rooney, for instance.
Have you heard Peter talk about amateur footy before?
Yeah.
Because I've been to a sportsman's dinner in Iton, and he was talking about playing on Jubilee Park, and he was like, we were unbeaten, and he was like, because you weren't coming here and getting half points.
That's what it's about, yeah. That's what I mean. That's why he'd be good. He'd be great. And to be honest, his brother's got a really good affiliation with the amateur game and that stuff. He was managing, so he'd be good. So yeah, there's loads. I enjoy speaking to the pros just as much as I do speaking to the lad from Walton or Dingle or, you know, whatever.
It seems like you are getting stuff out of them as well, because I think one of the problems we find it sometimes as well is that, you know, if you don't know someone and they're sat in front of you and you've got microphones like us now, then you're a bit like, well, what does he want out of this? And, you know, there's still a bit of, certainly with pros and things like that, there's a bit of wariness about relaxing and telling a story. But from what I've heard of your pods, you are getting them to do that, because like, I think you're just talking to them on a level, aren't you? And then they start relaxing and opening up and talking almost like they would in the pub or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think most of them, it's all right for them because they've packed in now, so they've got they're under no duress from anyone if they say the wrong thing, which is always handy. Like, but even like Phil Thompson, when he come on, and the stuff that people, unless you know him personally, you wouldn't know. So he was 22, 23 year old fella winning European Cups for Liverpool, but he was managing the Falcon and Kirby for 12 years. Now you try and get your heads around that and think, right, Trent could be managing now a team from West Derby or wherever he grew up, and you just turn up and the other team would go, all right, Trent, hello lads, how are you? Let's just get this game out the way. And just, you know, it's unbelievable to think of, isn't it? It's just,
yeah.
it, it, the, the game's moved on that much that it's just impossible for that to happen. We, you know, Tomo's throwing nets up and arguing with linesmen and everyone probably giving him loads. He probably got more crap in the Sunday league than he did playing at Anfield, and we know how much grief Tomo used to get. So it's like so far removed, but people wouldn't know that. He had a massive dedication to amateur footy, you know, putting his team in the National Cup and things like that. So, you know...
Because you put the ones that make it on, you can do, you put them on a bit of a plinth, don't you, and think like, you know, well, they're detached from the rest of us, if you like. But I can't, you probably know what team I'm on about here. I remember there being some kind of final or semi-final being held at Marine, and it was a local side against whoever, but Kev Nolan was there.
Yeah, Nicosia, yeah.
Nicosia, that's it. So, but again, I thought that was boss, that he was there, because in my head, I'm like, but he's a pro and he's made it. So like, you know, why would he be asked about someone? Well, it's his mates, isn't it? Or it's his family or whatever.
Family and his mates, yeah. So Kevin would have grown up under the banner of Nicosia. His uncles, his father and his cousins and stuff played for them. They've won the National Cup. So basically there's an FA affiliated trophy to Sunday League footy called the FA Sunday Cup. It was always known as the National Cup to teams in Liverpool. And Kev's team that he was part of and obviously supported, Nicosia, have won it twice. So I'm in the process now. I'm making a documentary about Liverpool's team involvement in the National Cup. So in like 65, when amateur footy became... Sunday League footy become recognised by the FA in early 60s. Since then, they put a trophy on and a tournament, a national tournament. Let's say it's been won by 45, 46 different teams. 10 of them have been from Liverpool. So our city's like affinity to that cup is massive. It's like the biggest thing in amateur footy that you can win. Nicosia, who Kev's obviously... in with and sponsored, and he's funded them. He's given them kits and all kinds for years. They've won it a couple of times. So even when there was Stevie Gerrard go and watch the paddock from Eton, or he'd go and watch the St. Ali's because his cousin, Joe Duncan, played for them. And you get it, Carragher go and watch, you know, he'd go and watch Bootle whenever he could and stuff like that. Or if his brothers were playing for the Seaburn and Crosby or Bootle, he'd be going there to watch. So the pros who have grown up in the city and they've got families who play Sunday League, they buy into it as well, and they know how much it means to the lads of like yourself.
It's quite like heartening, that, isn't it? Because I think you can get done in a little bit by where modern football's are at times, and the money and Man City, and you know, it all just feels a bit like, oh, fucking hell. But then when you hear stuff like that, you're like, that's boss, that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I can understand why you'd want to get farther as well, because I mean, everyone seems to know that he, you know, he played for the Pineapple, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, and so what are the stories around that? I mean, I used to live next door to a fella who used to play amateur and did all right at youth level. He ended up playing in Wales, like loads of Scousers do. But I remember talking to him, and he said, I think I'm a good keeper. He said, I still think I'm a good keeper. And he said, Fowler was unbelievable, though. And he said, Fowler beat me from just inside the halfway line. And he said, I was absolutely gutted. He said, I'd come out, and he said, I'm giving one of my defenders loads. And he said, and it just fell to him. He hit it, and it's gone, and it's in. And he said, I'm just like, no need. Yeah. No need at all.
No need. I had Tony Grant on, who obviously, he's been assistant to Fowler in the last few jobs. So Tony Grant, who played for Everton, he lived in my street growing up, Granty, so I knew him anyway. And when he come on, he said, they were over in India with the, was it East Bengal or something like that? And he said, when Fowler joined in training, like, he said, they'd just stop and look. And he'd be sitting there, Tony, taking his notes, and Fowler would be pinging them top bins, and he'd be like, pack it in, Bob. You know, we're trying to encourage these lads to improve, and they're just looking, thinking, I'm never getting to that level, you know what I mean? It's just like, there's levels, isn't it? Like you said, some of the lads in the top of Sunday League footy are millimetres away from being a pro, and then there's levels to pro then, isn't it? You know, you go up through the gears and that. But and obviously our city's produced some of the best English footballers of all time. Like, it's just, there's no debating it in your Gerrards, Rooney's, and your Fowlers. It's, you know, unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
A variation on something I already asked you, but I just thought of it then. So, you know, the story of like Ian Wright, and he's, you know, he's playing non-league, isn't he, to quite late in his career. I guess Vardy's a more modern day version, and then all of a sudden they end up in the Premier League. Do you think we'd still get that, or do you think that's just never going to happen now?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. You just never know, do you? I mean, a lad who played for Campfield last year, Elliot Nevitt, his Saturday team, Rylands, won the Vars or the trophy, can't remember off the top of my head. He scored an hat-trick at Wembley, so he was the last person since Harry Kane to score an hat-trick at Wembley.
Boss.
He then signed for Tranmere. I know it's not the Premier League, but he's jumped straight out of Sunday League and Saturday League and signed for Tranmere. A lad I had on, Kev Ellison, he was labouring on site playing for the Seymour. Couple 6 months, 8 months later, after playing like for Bershko or Sowie or whatever, he's playing for Leicester. He's coming on at Old Trafford in the Prem. Granted, it was a good few years ago, but it's, you know, who knows? You've just got to catch them young enough, yeah. I imagine.
Yeah.
Catch them young enough, and if they've got the ability for the clubs to think that they can mould them, because they always like to change something, don't they? Yeah, they never just take you in and go, that's the way you are, you just stay like that. They take you in and change you, don't they? If you're a striker, you'll be a right back when you go to Liverpool or something like that, you know. But I think it is possible, you know. You can't ever say never at things like that.
Bit of romance, we all love a bit of that. Well, tell us, Mick, where people can listen to it then, because people might be into the chat and want to hear more and want to hear the pod, so where can they get it?
Yeah, so it's called Straight From The Off. It's on all your usual platforms, iTunes, Spotify, stuff like that. We've just started up a YouTube channel. We don't actually do video with the podcast, we just do audio, because I thought it was going to be hard enough getting them on in the first place, and then they were thought, I'm not sitting there while you've got a camera shoved in your face. So we didn't do any visuals straight away, so it was just audio. But we've started a YouTube channel under Straight From The Off, and I've got a lad in called Harvey Morrison. He does some of the filming for the Boss Nights, so he's really good. He's dead creative and stuff like that. He set up a little project called Grassroots Footy Creative, and he's helping me with the documentary. So when that's out in a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, that'll be on YouTube for people to watch with the channel there. And then the podcast, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram under Straight From The Off, and I just post it every Thursday. We put an episode out. It could be an hour long, it could be 3 hours. So I appreciate the dedication it takes to listen to these pods, you know. It's not as if we can... Well, I mean, we do what I think's relatively good numbers. So, we must have 3,000 listeners a week, something like that. And we're in the city. The lads who love the footy at the moment are listening to me. I get loads of good feedback. I get loads of suggestions. Get him on. He's a liar. What was he saying? What's all that about, you know? So you know, it's good engagements. Like, but the main thing I do is I get each episode sponsored by a local business, and then when they give us whatever they want to give us, say from £100 to a couple of £100, we give it to the grassroots kids teams. Brilliant. So we must have given about approximately about £10,000 back into the grassroots footy over the last 2 years. And it could be teams that we don't know. I could just turn up with the Jeffrey Humbles where my lad plays with a little envelope, a couple of £100 in, and say to the coach, yeah, mate, that's off our podcast to get your lads some new kit or balls or training or whatever. And I just do it for a nobby, basically, and because I'm a bit nosy and I like to know what was going on in other people's teams. Like, so, yeah, that's it.
Keep on being nosy, Mick. It's brilliant what you've done, mate, and congratulations with the success. Look forward to this documentary as well. Sounds fantastic. So everyone keep an eye out for that. Thanks for coming in today mate.
No problem.
And yeah, give that a listen straight from the off. This has been The Cup of Tea from the Anfield app. Up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.